And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he, that being Jesus, departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. We're in a three-week series about why we exist as a church. First of all, we want to be a church that senses God's presence. I trust that you are here today and you sense God's presence here. I preached about that a little bit last week, and we need to be near God. And when the Bible says if we draw near to God, he will draw near to us. And so when we draw near to God, he is with us. And there's something that happens when we get together corporately that when we all draw near to God, he draws near in a powerful way. Second, we need to be a church of prayer. I want to be a person of prayer. I want you to be a person of prayer all the time, everywhere. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, pray continually, pray without ceasing, how whatever version you have, I want you to be a person of prayer. Third, we want to have an outreach into the community. Here is my hope of this message. My hope is that each of us here, first of all, have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't, that's done through a simple prayer of asking him into your heart and saying, God, would you please forgive me of my sins? And then from there, my hope is that every one of us will be persons of prayer. I've used the word persons instead of people because sometimes when we say people, then that means why I can depend on somebody else. But each of us as people or persons need to be persons of prayer in order to be a church of prayer. I would ask that you would examine and look at your prayer life. Would you be willing to expand your prayer life? And could you do as 1 Thessalonians has said, and pray without ceasing? I read already, but I will give it to you again. Mark chapter 1, verse 35. If you happen to have your Bible and you open it to that page, that would be great. You might want to underline something. If you didn't happen to bring a Bible, it's on the rack in front of you on page 837. It's a simple verse, but I believe it packs a whole lot in it. And here's what it says, the he is being Jesus. So I'll read it without taking away from he, I'll just say Jesus. And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. You don't have any notes in your bulletin. There will be notes on the screen behind me, and so feel free to jot down whatever God speaks to you about today. The first thing I want you to see is this. Jesus got up early to pray. Jesus got up early to pray. The perfect Lamb of God got up to pray. Surely, we should as well. When is your prayer time? It's kind of rhetorical, but I ask you to think about this. When is your prayer time? When do you have times intimately with God Almighty? Where do you go to pray? What are you praying for? I encourage each of you here, whatever it means to you, to get up early and pray. Now, some of you might work the night shift, and so getting up early might mean 2 o'clock in the afternoon because you go to bed at 8 in the morning, and then you wake up about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. But whatever it is, I encourage us to get up early and pray. Many of us stumble out of bed, and then we hit our alarms once or twice or three times, and then we stumble into the kitchen or we stumble into the bathroom to get ready for that day. Jesus was busy. He had many clamoring at him, wanting to be near him, but he got up early to pray. And I know that this wasn't just a one-time experience. It wasn't, it's Thursday, and today I should get up early and pray. No, for Jesus, it was a routine of his. I'll point that out a little bit later. I have a burning desire that I would be a man of prayer and that each of us would be persons of prayer. That our private prayer lives would be so outstanding that kingdoms fall because of our intercession. We have such a busy world, but But we have a God who wants our attention, God who wants to spend time with us very early and pray. How is your prayer life? Now, if you're married in the room, this is not the time to nudge your spouse and say, yeah, how are you doing? It's a time for you to say, how is my prayer life? The song said, I need thee every hour. Do you pray every hour of the day? There are other religions, you probably know which one I'm going to talk about, that five times a day, religiously, will pray. Some of us enjoy our meals, and we forget to pray at even our meals. Pray. We need to be people of prayer. Have you set a goal for praying this year? Now, I'm not asking you to set a time limit. Oh, I've got to... Pastor Steve said I need to get up early, and so early for me is 6 o'clock, and from 6 to 6.05, I'm going to pray. It's not about a time limit. It's about a time with God, not a time limit with Him. Do you want to know your Heavenly Father? Jeremiah 33:3, call upon me, and I will show you great and wonderful things that you do not know. But we have to call upon Him. I wonder if God has been knocking on some of your heart's doors because you're not praying. And you're like, I wonder. Pray. Be a praying people. Maybe you haven't seen God's answers to your prayers. I met a while back with someone who wanted to see God work. And I've been praying for that to happen. However, what happens when we don't see God work? Does that mean God's not working? He surely still is, and we pray for that relationship with Him. I wonder what your early times look like. Early times of your days. I need to grow in my prayer life. I think every one of us in this room needs to be challenged in this area. Here's what Oswald Chambers says. I believe the quote's on the screen behind. If in the first waking moment of the day, you learn to fling the door back and let God in, every public thing will be stamped with the presence of God. Number two, I want you to see this. Jesus departed. As mentioned, this was not just a one-time thing for him. In Mark chapter 6, verse 46, and after he, Jesus, had taken leave of them, he went up on the mountain to pray. Luke 5:16. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. It's a little different than what you see here because I picked the NIV version because it says, but Jesus often. I think the ESV says, do you have that one? Luke 5:16. But he would withdraw. I like the word often there. Withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Luke 9:18. Now it happened that he was praying alone. The disciples were with him. It was a routine for him. It wasn't just something that, I think I'll do this today. Where did he depart? I think this is important. Rising very early in the morning while it's still dark, he departed. Where did he go? He went to a desolate place. Where is your desolate place? Where is, as I mentioned last week, where's your spot? Where's your desolate place? It can't be in front of the TV. It can't be in front of your computer, your smartphone. It's not with your kids. It's not with your wife. It's not even with a cup of coffee. It's with God, alone, in a desolate place. Some of us in this room, and I'll challenge us here for just a moment, we have a certain routine of what we do, and we've been doing it for a number of years. And the routine starts that we go get our cup of coffee before we say good morning to the Lord, or we go check our smartphone before we say good morning to the Lord, or we do whatever. Jesus was still early in the morning. While it was still dark, he departed and he went out to a desolate place. I recently read a book called God's Hostage, and it was written by Andrew Brunson. You might recall Andrew Brunson. He is a pastor, and he was in Turkey where he was taken hostage. It's a good read if you'd like to read a good read. He was in captivity over 700 days in Turkey. He was released in 2018. He shares in his book of some realistic feelings that he had as he was in prison during that time. And one of the things that he shared is he talked about a man by the name of Richard Wurmbrand. I don't know if you know the name of Richard Wurmbrand, but Richard Wurmbrand was the person who started Voice of the Martyrs. If you ever pray for Voice of the Martyrs, you need to thank Richard Wurmbrand because he was the man who started Voice of the Martyrs. Richard Wurmbrand was a missionary, and he was in prison over a couple of times for about 14 years. Some of that was in solitary confinement. I don't know if you've ever been in solitary confinement. Some of you think that would be awesome to be in solitary confinement, but let me tell you, that would drive many of us batty after a period of time. Andrew Brunson, though, recorded what Richard Wurmbrand had recorded, and it was something like this that Richard Wurmbrand said. I wish that I had been back in that place of solitary confinement because it was there that I was totally dependent upon God. Find God in your desolate place. Now let me say for just a couple of moments, there's maybe a couple of you this morning who feel like you're in a desolate place. You're in a deserted place and you're all alone. Let me remind you that God is not there, or God is there. He's not leaving you alone. God is very much there with you in your desolate place. However, I know this. Most of us in this room are not in a desolate place right now. We're doing pretty good. Life's going well. Our retirement maybe is going up because of where the economy's at. It's a wonderful thing. Our sports team won yesterday. Great. Thus, we need to depart from this world to spend time with our Heavenly Father to find out His will, His love, His protection, His advice, His input, His help, and ultimately His presence. And we need to do this every day, and we need to be in prayer, and we need to be in Bible study every single day. We need to beseech and ask of the Lord. I encourage you to find a place to depart to. Do you have a place that you depart to? I hope you do. Maybe a day. Wouldn't it be great if you would just go spend a day with God? I can't do that. Okay. Then take 30 minutes. It was said of Susanna Wesley, and many of you have heard this, Susanna Wesley had 15 to 17 kids, something crazy like that, some crazy amount. That's a wonderful thing to have 17 kids, but that's a lot of kids. And she would sit in a rocking chair, and then she'd put her apron up over her head, and her kids knew that was her desolate place. If you're a mom in the room and you have kids at home, do your kids know that that's your desolate place? That's where mom is spending time with God. If you're a dad in the room, do your children know that's your desolate place? As I look around the room, many of you don't have kids in the home. Where's your desolate place? I'm a dad. I have 4 kids, and they're all at home. And sometimes it's difficult to find a desolate place. You might be a successful businessman, a nurse, a tax accountant, a custodial worker, a service professional, a school teacher, whatever it might be, find a desolate place. You might be retired. Let me stop for just a moment for those who are retired in the room. Isn't it funny that maybe those of you who are retired, who have the most time on your hands, actually have the most difficult time finding the desolate place? Busy ourselves with other things. Find a desolate place, depart there, and spend time with Jesus. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5 and 6. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues. Go ahead and show that, Bennett. And at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father who's in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Now, if you are a prayer warrior and you know this to be true, you know it's not going to come through You're not just going to have, you're not going to walk out of your desolate place and have everything taken care of. Sometimes when you walk out of your desolate place, you realize how much chaos there is. And it doesn't mean when you spend time in your secret place that all of a sudden in the mail, a $500 check comes and you're like, yeah, prayed that one through. Sometimes God chooses to answer that way. I pray that God will so embolden your private prayer that something will happen even greater when we get together. The third thing I want you to see is this. Jesus prayed. There was an interim school superintendent, and he was speaking at a citywide PTA luncheon, and he assured members that he was always happy to hear about them with their problems. And he told them, "You can call me any day or night at this number." And he gave the number. And suddenly there was a cry from the assistant superintendent, and he said, "Hey, that's my number." The reason why I told you that is this. When we pray, we call on Almighty God. We are not calling on any other God. We are not calling on an unknown God. We are calling on God Almighty, who made the universe. And when Jesus prayed, there's a reason why I think it says this, and there he prayed. He didn't just rise very early in the morning. He didn't just depart to a desolate place. He rose early in the morning. He went to a desolate place, and there he prayed. He prayed. He talked with God. He heard from God. He planned with God. He deciphered with God. He prayed. He didn't check his stocks at his early morning encounter. He didn't see if James Harden had scored a triple-double. He didn't check his work schedule. He didn't eat Fruity Pebbles. He didn't whistle. He didn't go hunting. Though many of us in the room get up early to go hunting, and we don't get up early and pray. That should be a challenge for some of us. He didn't turn on the TV. He didn't shave. He didn't get to work. He didn't brush his teeth. He didn't check his stocks. He didn't get the latest joke with his disciples. He prayed. As Oswald Chambers has said, and I mentioned it last week, prayer is the greater work. He prayed. He didn't figure out what the high priests and the Pharisees were up to. He didn't do miraculous healings. He didn't walk on water. He didn't play a game with the disciples. He didn't prepare breakfast. He prayed. What do we do in our early morning prayer times? Pray. Don't be distracted. Oh, how can we be distracted? I encourage you, here's just a thought. Maybe you've heard this before, maybe you haven't, but in your prayer time, when you go to your prayer time, which I'm assuming all of you do, and you should, take a little notebook with you. And so when the thought of the day comes that you need to take care of something and you think, oh, I've got to take care of that now or I'll forget it, because some of you are good at forgetting, write that down on a piece of paper and then you can go back to your prayer. And so you won't forget about it. You'll write it down real quick, and then you go back to your prayer. And maybe you'll have a whole list of things, but then you're not distracted in your prayer time. Hear this quote from Andrew Murray. It's on the screen. God's child can conquer anything by prayer. Is it any wonder that Satan does his utmost to snatch that weapon from the Christian or to hinder him in the use of it? Leave that up for a couple moments, please. The enemy wants to distract you to not get up early, not get alone, and certainly not pray. He sends distracting thoughts in your mind, comments, suggestions, ideas, lies that can dominate our prayer time. Don't let the enemy do that. Here's a couple of book recommendations that I'll give to you. One, With Christ in the School of Prayer. Another one, Too Busy Not to Pray. The Power of a Praying Husband or The Power of a Praying Wife. Same book or same title, but two different books. The Power of a Praying Husband, The Power of a Praying Wife. Maybe you would like to read one of those and expand your prayer life. I believe this. When we become persons of prayer, then we become a church of prayer, which is really what I desire. There's something that happens when people get together and they pray and they truly pray. I desire for our church to be a church of prayer, not just a place of prayer, but a church of prayer, not a building of prayer, but a building of prayers. I don't think we're there yet, though. We have corporate prayer gatherings that are slightly attended. Thank you for those of you who gather and pray. Whether it be on a Sunday or Sunday school or Wednesday night, sometimes we have some that gather in a small group on Thursday or men's prayer or prayer breakfast. Where are you having prayer time with other believers? I think there's something that's valuable about having our individual prayer, but there's something about when we get together with others and say, I am needing prayer here. And somebody intercedes for you. It's something that happens. Here's what Acts chapter 1, verse 14 says. All these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer. Acts 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost arrived, you have those, minutes, put those up there. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place and God's Spirit came. Acts 2, verse 42. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. We need to get together for corporate prayer. And when we get together for corporate prayer, let's not gossip or talk about the weather or wonder about so-and-so's marriage. Let's not complain or groan. Let's pray. And let's pray out loud and storm the gates of hell in order for our church to be a driving force in Rapid City, South Dakota, and around the world. May our prayer gatherings be so unique that people are desiring to come. But we're not there. My heart is challenged, or my heart mourns. I'm not sure what word it is. There's a prayer gathering that happens on Saturday mornings at 7 a.m., and most of us as men aren't there. I know we have other things going on. We have prayer at 8 o'clock before our 8:30 service, and this morning there were four people there. We don't have a burden for prayer. Small groups get together and study something, but do we pray? We have things to get done, but we have got to be a praying church. Well, I guess we don't. We could rely on our own strength. That would be the way to go, wouldn't it be? No, it wouldn't be. We have got to be persons of prayer. And I believe that if we are persons of prayer and we become a church of prayer, then mighty things happen. You may say, I don't know what to pray about. Pray for me. Pray for me and my wife. Pray for our family. If you have nothing else to pray about, pray for me. Pray for Pastor Mark and Brooke and Eden. Pray for Peter. Did you know that Peter didn't sleep through the night last night? Did you know that Pastor Mark's probably a little tired today? Did you know that Araya didn't sleep through the night last night? Pray for Leon and Amber. Did you know that Pastor Bradley and Megan are expecting a little one? Guess what? She's not going to sleep here in a little bit. If you have nobody else to pray about, pray for us as the staff. But there are things to pray for. Pray for the 2020 challenge. Some of you haven't jumped in on that yet. And let me just say this, you need to. You need to step out of your box a little bit and say, I need to invite somebody to this thing that I call church that happens every Sunday morning that I set aside time for. And if you don't want to pray for somebody that you can invite, pray for me that I would invite somebody. I've invited two people already. One I've invited before, his name is Bill, he lives over there. You know, you might see me in church, okay? Pray for our city. Actually, in Luke chapter 11, verse 1, it stated there, Lord, teach us to pray. You know what comes after Luke chapter 11, verse 1? The Lord's Prayer. So if you're not sure what to pray about, or if you don't have any ideas of what to pray about, then just follow the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thank God for the many blessings you have. Thank him for the wonderful creation. Thank you for the snow that we have. Thank you for the wettest year that you were able to be a part of in Rapid City, South Dakota. How cool is that? You were here in a record year. Forgive us our sins is what the Lord's Prayer says. ask for forgiveness and forgive us. Forgive those who trespass against us. Forgive us those who sins against us. Pray for that. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Pray for that. And at the end it says, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Pray for his kingdom to come. And that's where you can pray for people and pray for things and pray for those situations. What can you pray for? You can pray for the end of abortion. You can pray for world peace. You can pray for revival. You can pray for people trusting God. There's a number of things to pray for. We have got to be a people of prayer. I have some questions that I'm going to put on the screen today. And go ahead and put them up there, Bennett, please. The first one I ask, and maybe you want to write this down. I worded it this way. Is my, not meaning me, but for you to say that. Instead of saying you, I word it this way. Is my prayer life on fire? If someone was to examine your life and come into your home and just be around you, would they find your desolate place? Would they see you as you're driving down the road and say, you know, he's not listening to sports radio or to Rush or to ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba, whatever song, but he's praying. Would they see that in your life? Is your prayer life so on fire that even when those moments when you're like, God, are you doing anything? You're like, I know you're doing something, God. And even when there's a struggle, is your prayer life on fire? And maybe you just want to answer this question with a yes or no. Or maybe you want to answer it in, I need to do this in order to help my prayer life to be on fire. Number two, when am I devoting time in prayer? If you are a child in the room today, and there are some of you who are under the age of 18, you need to pray. And if you're a child and your parents aren't praying, you be that person to say, Mom and Dad, we need to pray. And lead them in prayer. If you're an adult in the room, when are you devoting time in prayer? And this isn't just a, God, help us today. Jesus departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. Number three, when do I have weekly corporate prayer times? Do you have a time where you're praying with some other believers? Some of you are doing that greatly. Do that. And let me remind us all here. Quickly take it to prayer instead of talking. Oh, yeah, we probably should pray now. And maybe some of us in this room need to be leading in prayer times. Maybe there's some people around you that you just need to say, let's get together and pray. Who will be the leaders of saying we need to get together for prayer and pray to Almighty God? Number four, what hopes do I have through prayer in 2020? What do you want for yourself in 2020 for prayer? Is it just I'm just going to pray and just pray and then I'll pray? Or do you have grand hopes saying, boy, if I could, if God could? Number five, what hopes do you have for our prayer life as a body of believers? What hopes do you have? It'd be really cool, I think, on Saturday mornings that we would have 30 men praying for the needs of our church. We're not there yet. It'd be neat if there was a group of you ladies who said, you know, we should meet for prayer. And we're going to meet at whatever time. It'd be neat if we had groups of prayer that were just praying on whatever day. And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, didn't hit the snooze. He went out all by himself, and he prayed. Surely if the Son of God got up and went to a desolate place and prayed, so should we. And I believe this. If in 2020 you establish just this one verse in your life and it expands, I believe there'll be a number of things that you will see how God's working in your life. And if each of us do this, and then we do this corporately, I think mighty things can happen. Lord Jesus, I just pray that you would be with each person in this room. I pray that each person in this room would know you, and if there's somebody here this morning that doesn't know you, I pray that they would say yes to you. I pray that they would just know. They would just know by being in your presence this morning here that you're not a God that's dead, but you are a God that's alive, and you are a God that cares so much about us and wants time in prayer with us. God, I pray for each person here today. I pray that as they leave from this sanctuary this morning, that there would not be any distraction that would happen in any of their prayer times. God, I just believe that when we get on our own with you in a desolate place, that there you are. And I pray that that would exude from us, whether it be in a recliner or at a kitchen table or a hardback chair, on our knees, in our vehicle. Maybe it's in our office chair. God, I just pray that each person here would see the awesomeness of those times. And then, God, may we be a church of prayer. May you embolden us, challenge us, encourage us. And so, God, would you go before us, and may even this week our prayer lives be expanded because of our time spent with you. Thank you, God, that you love us. Encourage us all this week, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.